Praise the Lord, and hello again. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and the Lord has diverted me to have some of the different sisters in the church, and soon it'll be some of the brothers, reading some of the literature that the Lord has given me years ago and as of recently as well. This one that we're going to try to finish off this evening is part three of the Lord is asking these two questions. Do I offend you? And are you ashamed of me? How anyone could be offended by the Lord, the word of the Lord, because it's the only way there is to salvation. It's the straight and narrow way to salvation. And then, are you ashamed? How could the wicked people of this world or anybody in this world be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us that he's the Word of God, and that he's coming back to earth again real soon to judge everyone. All of the Lord's ways are judgment, and it's just a shame that people are so offended at the word of the Lord that they've made up a new word that is not a true word of the Lord at all. It's because they're so offended at his word. And the Lord says that if you're so offended at his word that you actually begin hating the things that the Lord says that we must do in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, that he'll send you strong delusion and make you believe a lie, that your soul might be damned. Read that in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. You'll see that that is the true word of the Lord. So people have to start disciplining themselves to be disciplined by the word of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit. The word of God is the Holy Spirit, and it is our life. The life, our life, is the Holy Spirit, or the word of God. If your life is something else other than the Word of God, you, according to God's Word, you don't have life at all. And so that's why the Lord gave me this piece of literature. Do I offend you? Does my Word offend you that tells you how to get into paradise? Or are you ashamed of me? If you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels, the Lord said. Well, right now, let's all go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint outwardly this service so that you can all be anointed inwardly. And Father, I pray that all the words that I say on this broadcast will be directly from you, that they'll all be 100% your word, your scriptures, your word, and that it will edify the church and lift them on higher ground. And that souls that are in darkness, that are unable to see the truth, that you'll open their spiritual eyes and their mind and let them put on the mind of Christ, the entire church and the unsaved, and that they'll be able to understand the things that you're saying to them this evening. And I ask it, Lord, that the souls by the millions or billions will be saved. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, where's the first letter from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay.
Dear Pastor in Christ, sir, we were very much appreciated that you took time out to send us many soul-winning newsletters along with your book, The Messiah. I got very happy to distribute your literature so people could know about Jesus Christ. Your newsletter helped our spiritual life to a new, everlasting level of understanding the things of God.
Right. You know, the strange thing is that when people, if you're going to church for any other reason than to get into the kingdom of heaven, then you're in the church for the wrong thing. Some people go to church to try to find a husband or a wife. Some people go there for social reasons. They want to find business associates and things like that. But if you're sitting in a church and you're not there for any other reason, then if your main reason for going to church is to get into heaven, then you're in the right place. But if you're going for any other reason, then you might as well not even be in church, because it's not going to do you any good. Because the reason that the Lord has churches and has, and we are the actual church, the body of Christ, is for you to be able to get into the kingdom of God and spend eternity there. So if you're here for any other reason, you're not here for the reason that the Lord wants you to be here. All right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so go ahead.
I read your literature more and more times and shared the Word of God through your literature.
Yeah, that's why the Lord gives me this literature, so that you'll see how to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and so that you can become a member of the body of Christ, which is the church, because the body of Christ is a corporate body, and there are many of us, and we all have to be in that one body, one spirit, one purpose, and that purpose is to get into heaven. And you know, so many people preach other messages, and what good is it for somebody to preach a salvation message if they're going to exalt the Pope or exalt religion and other things, like so many other people? I saw them exalting some of the different religious leaders in the world today on television. I don't want to mention their name because people just worship them, and none of them are really on their way to the kingdom of heaven. One of them is the late Pope. That he said, they say that he was a great religious leader. I think the words they used was a great soul. And if you've seen that, it was on an international broadcast, and they're really exalting the Vatican, which is the Antichrist cult that runs the one world government and the media. And it's also, there are the other ones that were on there with the Pope were people that are posing to be Protestants in other religions, but they're all Catholics. And the Lord tells us that this is the Antichrist. But does that offend you, that the Lord spells out to you who the enemy is, so that you can avoid being involved with it? And are you offended with the Lord because of the fact that he tells you who the Antichrist is? The Antichrist is also a corporate body of people, wicked people, because they go, they are hell-bent to worship man rather than God, and they hate his word, and they're offended with the word of God, and they're ashamed of the word of God. They're ashamed of Christ. Again, Christ is the Word of God. Believe on the whole Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the whole Word of God, and the purpose of God will be fulfilled, because you'll get into heaven. That's what it's all about, is to just get into heaven. Some people preach, you know, well, what's the purpose of being saved? It's just so you can have healing, and so that you can be blessed. And no, the main reason that you're saved is so that your soul can enter into the kingdom of heaven. They just distract. They say, well, you know, you can get healing. Of course, that all comes along with it. And, of course, blessings will come along with it, and that demons will be cast out. That's part of it. And all the other blessings, you'll have a nice house, a car, and all these things. This is not the reason the Lord saved you. He saved you so that your soul can go to heaven. That's why he wants you to read the Bible, because Satan is very subtle, and he'll take your soul out and cause you to be part of the Antichrist movement. You'll be part of the great falling away. Then what? What does the letter say?
Here, so many people do not know Jesus. Every day I go with your newsletters and distribute them to people. Along with me, 10 youths regularly go to the residential areas and share the Word of God through your literature. I need your prayers and help. May God be with you and bless you richly. With prayers, I remain sincerely in him, your brother in Christ, K. George, from Andhra Pradesh, India.
And may God be with you, and I know he is. I can tell just by the things you're saying that you're not asking for anything but more literature and for prayer. And that shows me that you're a legitimate, honest-to-God man of the Lord. And all your the people that are going around distributing the literature there in India. Okay, and then where's the next letter from?
From Nigeria, Africa.
Okay.
My dear Pastor Tony Olamo, may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth be with you and your entire ministry. Amen. I have come across some of your gospel literature books, such as The Secret of Spiritual Defense, The Real Thing, The Real Deal, Evil One World Government Agents, and Peace in the Middle East, The Only Answer. I read these newsletters with interest, and I believe beyond all shadow of doubt that God has specially mentored you to write in the manner in which you wrote all these literature books. Your gospel books have no doubt been a source of spiritual life to millions of people. In furtherance to all that your newsletters have been doing for the lives of people, I want to be identified with you and your ministry in simple terms. I mean, I want to be your member here in Delta State, Nigeria, because these teachings of yours are truth, and they have spiritual power that revive the soul. I want to start the Holy Lamo Christian Church here in Delta State after I have heard from you. Indeed, I love you and your church, and that is why I would want to have a root of it here.
You know how people can tell that it's the Holy Spirit that that the words are coming from? Because there's a tugging inside of your soul, in your spirit, that's showing you, and it's like witnessing to your spirit, to your soul, that this is definitely coming from the Lord. If that tugging isn't there, that's why how I know what to write and how I know what not to write and what to say and what not to say, where to go and what not to go, because I'll ask the Lord, and if he there's like a blessing that comes down from the kingdom of heaven, a sweeping of the Spirit, I know that it's yes. But if there's a check in my soul, or if there's something that I should be doing, I feel a tugging from the Lord, and he's urging me to contact him, and what is it, Lord? And then he tells me, and when I do it, it just works out perfect. And that's the way that people need to be led by the Lord, is to, if you feel something tugging you, ask the Lord, what is it, Lord? And then when he tells you, don't try to figure it out with your mind, because our minds are made out of dirt. You have to just go along with whatever the Lord is saying, so long as it matches up with the Word of God. If you feel something, somebody or some spirit telling you, kill somebody, kill somebody, you know that is not the Lord, because the Lord never crosses his own word. He tells you that no murderer shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Thou shalt not murder, okay? And if you see a vision from Mary, of Mary, rather, and this vision is telling you that you should fall down and worship her, no, don't do that, because Jesus is the only human being in this world that created his mother before he was begotten in her, okay? So Jesus is the actual creator of his mother. And then he put himself in her womb. So she just was just a creation of God. Amen?
Amen.
Do you know of any other man that created his mother before he was in her womb?
No.
Only Jesus did that. And so, you know, he's God. Right?
Right.
God, Jesus was from before the foundation of the world. And the Bible says that there isn't anything that was created that was not created by him. That includes his mother, his mama. Okay? Okay, then what?
I will be happy, really, if you grant my request, and I know you will. Amen. Please, Pastor Tony, I'm also begging you to send me a Holy Bible, King James Version, large print, and 200 copies of your gospel literature books. And I still need your books entitled The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy. I have little experience, but I believe that God will use his Holy Spirit to teach me so that the root of the church we will open here could grow fast in Jesus. Amen. Please extend my warm greetings to all the faithful in the ministry. May God richly bless you and your son, my friend, Zion. May the Almighty God specially bless him and make him greater than you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I like that kind of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I want all my children to be young. And I've got some kids that are 40. Oh, I've got a child that's 47 years old. He's not a child anymore. Another one that's 46, and another one that's about 45, somewhere in the 40s. And then I've got other children as well. Okay, some of them that are in their 30s, and some younger than that. Zion is 14 now. Okay, then what?
Mama Susan Alamo, God, who has called you to rest from your labors on earth, has a purpose. May he continue to keep you in his bosom until we meet to part no more. Amen. Zion, bye for now. Your friend, Amarad, from Delta State, Nigeria, Africa.
Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Okay, now let's begin with the Lord asking this question. Do I offend you? Are you ashamed of me? Okay, this is part three.
To give you a brief update on yesterday's message, the Lord was telling his disciples that he was to die for the sins of the world, that sinners could be saved. Then he would be resurrected on the third day. Peter said, quote, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee," unquote. Jesus answered, quote, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men," unquote. Peter was the same as asking if Jesus should not be concerned about the pain and the humiliation he would suffer while doing God's will, which was suffering and dying on the cross for the benefit of all mankind. The Lord rebuked Peter for his carnal way of thinking, which was tempting him to live a carnal, worthless, satanic self-life.
Yeah, when the Lord is dealing with you too, and telling you something, don't be thinking with your carnal mind. That's just what I was talking about. Just receive it and do what he says, because the carnal mind cannot understand the things that the Lord tells people to do. It just seems like it's totally crazy sometimes. Like the Lord has told me so many things to do, and some of them sounded like they weren't right, took my mind. But when I did it, I mean, there was like supernatural events that happened right away. I mean, it was just incredible. And it still is. It just blows my mind every time I look around and see the things that the Lord has told me to do. And then I become very humble, because I realize what would happen if I wouldn't have done what he told me to do. I wouldn't have been able to do to carry on this ministry. It would be impossible. Okay, then what?
There is absolutely no value in self. Peter's statement could have only been given to him by Satan. Jesus rebuked him by saying, quote, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me," unquote, Matthew chapter 16, verse 23.
Right, because if anyone that's just, if the Lord tells me to do something, and they start thinking, that offends me tremendously, because it's very hard for me to cope with people that are not obedient to the Lord. You can see their brows furrow, and their eyes start rolling around in the back of their head, you know, and they start thinking as though, and it's always somebody that I never respected for them having brains. You know, isn't that something? The people, it just surprises me all the time. Some of the people that think they're smart, and they've never shown me anything that's smart. The thing to do is, when the Lord tells you to do something, do it. Like Mary told all the people, the disciples, whatever he tells you to do, do it quickly. Amen? Yeah. Don't try to consider it or try to figure out if it's right. Especially when you see that he does those kind of things. In the Bible, he told Moses and all the children of Israel to stand right by the seashore of the Red Sea, and then put your staff inside of there. And it's going to split open, and you're going to walk through. Well, you know, I'm sure a lot of you would furrow your brow if he said that, and you'd start thinking. Just a thinking, and a thinking, and a stinking. You know, you got to have faith, amen?
Amen.
Faith in what the Lord says instead of your brain, because your brain, so far as when it comes to spiritual things, is worthless. Put on the mind of Christ to do whatever the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Satan was offended because Christ was giving his life for us so that we could be saved. Are you ashamed and offended as Satan that Christ did this for you? Are you like the devil, or are you happy, and do you praise the Lord for what he did for us? If you are offended with Christ and these words of Christ, and if you are ashamed of Christ and his words, Christ will be ashamed of you before his Father and the holy angels on Judgment Day. Jesus began telling his disciples that not only would he go to the cross, but so would everyone who would be his disciples, since they must take up their own crosses of self-denial and follow him.
Right, there's a song, "Should Jesus Bear the Cross Alone, and You and I Go Free?" No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The Bible says, Jesus said, take up your cross now and deny yourself and follow me. And that means even to the death of the cross or to a firing squad or wherever it may be, he wants to know if you believe that the kingdom of heaven is worth it. You say, but how do we know it's there? You know it's there because the Word of God says it's there. Amen. And describes it. And that you know the Word of God is true because you see all the plagues on earth, many other ways besides just the plagues on earth today, all the sicknesses, diseases, infirmities, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, and floods, and the famines, and just everything that the Lord said would happen just before he comes back to earth again. So you can safely believe that everything else that the Lord said. Don't try to think about that. You just see it happening, and it's true. It's true. Amen?
Amen.
So don't think about it. Just receive it into your rubbery heart, you know. Ask the Lord to melt all that rubber and glue away from your heart, and that industrial rubber or whatever it is that's blocking your arteries to your spiritual arteries to receive the Word of God. It's true. It's very true. All right, then what?
As it was for Jesus, so will it be for every disciple, both then and now. Jesus does not want us to think that he alone was called to do God's will. There is no other truth than God's word. Peter told Jesus, quote, feel sorry for yourself, unquote. Jesus told Peter, quote, you must deny yourself, unquote. The Bible tells us there is a price to pay in following God's will. The flesh is offended at such a thought, while self-life reigns as a king or queen. The Almighty God is offended at this. Our self-life is not able to follow God's commands because self wants to follow self, or anyone else self chooses to follow instead of Christ.
Well, your mind wants to do what you want to do. But start receiving what the Lord says and keep, and don't stop running. Don't stop receiving what he says. Because the minute you stop receiving what he says, Satan is going to come in like a flood, and you're going to not be able to enter heaven. If you stop receiving what the Lord says, then you're doomed. Because the Lord is greater than you. The Lord is greater than I. Our Lord created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. He created his own mother. Amen?
Amen.
He created everybody out of the dirt of the ground and blew his own breath in us. He drowned the entire world. There isn't. He created every animal, every creeping thing, every bird and every fish. And he knows everything about them and you. And don't stop running. Don't stop receiving the Word of God. Because if you stop receiving the Word of God, or sometimes you're going to be in a situation to where you are in so much turmoil you won't know what to do, or you figure that you have to figure something out. Your brain can't figure out what you're supposed to do. Just do what you know to do in the Lord until the Lord starts bringing the revelation to it. Okay?
Amen.
Now if you just keep doing what you know that you're supposed to do and ignore whatever the confusion is that's hitting you, then at least you're doing something right, and the Lord knows that you're moving towards the mark, you know, and you'll be all right. But if you just give up, or you throw in the towel when some confusion comes, and you start deciding to just go on a big drunk or something, or you want to go into pills or pot or smoking, dropping pills, uppers, downers, inners, outers, or you just want to walk off from your husband or your wife, or you just want to do something, traveling someplace, just to do something, even if it's wrong. No, there's so many things that you know that are right in the Bible that you can be doing until the confusion goes away. But don't try to think of what to do if you don't know what to do. ask advice from your pastor, or call me if you don't have any respect for your pastor, and just do. But one thing for sure you can do is just keep running. Amen?
Amen.
Don't stop running. There are so many things to do in the Bible. You can distribute literature. Amen?
Amen.
You know that the Lord's not going to throw you into hell for distributing literature. You can go through messages. You can go through, you can listen to a tape. You can listen to a gospel program. There's so many things that you can do. And you can take care of people. You can give things to people that you know are of the Lord. I don't give things to or money or anything like that to devils. If they come and ask me for some food or something to drink, I'll give it to them. Or if they're naked, I'll give them some clothes. But, you know, I'm not going to give them any large sum of money or anything like that. I pray about everybody that asks for finances, and I get an answer from the Lord to either send it to them or don't send it to them. If they're asking for literature or Bibles, and I'll send those things to anyone that wants them. Some people ask for 10,000 Bibles. I'm not going to do that because automatically I'll think that that's the Pope ordering them and that he's going to throw them in the trash when they get there. So I'm not easily deceived. Okay, the Lord always checks me on those kind of requests. All right, then what?
When Jesus calls us to deny ourselves by taking up our cross, following him, and renouncing all for his sake, our natural self-life automatically responds with self-pity. This causes us to be unwilling to pay any price for God. When we choose the straight and narrow way of the cross and endure all things for Christ's sake, our self-life will suffer loss, but our eternal life will gain the eternal treasures of heaven.
And the communication to the Lord will become very keen. You'll be able to, when you just do what the Lord says, he knows that you're his servant then. He's not our servant. We're to be his servant. He called us to serve. Amen?
Amen.
To do the things that he did when he was here. And not to imitate it either. I heard one of the evangelists saying, we're supposed to imitate Christ. No, you're supposed to be part of Christ. You're to be a member of his body. You're to be exactly like him, not an imitation. That would be like to say that you can use real maple syrup or imitation maple syrup, which is burnt sugar and water. No, I'll take the real thing, okay?
Yeah.
The real deal. Okay, then what? The real McCoy.
This is the only way we will positively lose our old man, our old self-life. Only in this way can the spiritual life of Christ in us become pure and reign as King, undertaking in us whatsoever is well-pleasing to God and beneficial to mankind. If we consider the conversation between Peter and the Lord, we can easily perceive the wickedness of the operation of the self-life. First, Peter uttered those satanic, carnal words immediately after hearing the supernatural revelation from God regarding the mystery never before known to man, that Jesus was the very Christ of the living God. Immediately after this incredible revelation, Peter was held captive by his self-life by Satan. This is seen in his attempt to convert the Lord from a life of selflessness to a life of self-will, asking Christ to pity himself, to feel sorry for himself.
Or selfishness. He wanted him to be selfish rather than selfless. Okay? Then what? That's the exact opposite of what the Lord wants us to be. We're just to think of what he wants us to do and not think about ourselves. Okay? Then what?
This should show everyone that revelations from God, no matter how powerful and supernatural, cannot deliver Christians from the utter power of the self-life. It is the exact opposite. The greater our knowledge and more profound our experience, the more hidden from us shall our self-life be, and the harder it will be for us to detect it and reject it. This is because it is offensive for those that have the knowledge but not the Spirit, as the Pharisees and hypocrites, to deny themselves so the Lord can work in them.
Well, I know people have had tremendous revelations from the Lord. They've seen the Lord like I have, but it didn't mean anything to them. Many people were called, but they didn't. They weren't sent. They didn't take the leading of the Lord. Many people are called, but you know, the Apostle Paul was called too. But he studied and sought the Lord for 17 years, and then it was then when the Lord sent. Like Moses, he was called by the Lord, and 40 years later, he was sent. Amen?
Amen.
So you can't just go off half-cocked. You have to learn the Word of God, and you have to become, you have to fellowship with Him so that you know His voice. And then when He knows that you're well-schooled in the Spirit and the communication with Him, and when He knows that you've studied and you know the Word backwards, forwards, coming and going, then you're sent. Moses was sent for, he didn't start his ministry until he was 80 years old, right?
Right.
And then at 80, he was sent. He was out on the, he left 40 years and was out there herding sheep or whatever he was doing and just having children. And 40 years later, the Lord showed himself to him in what looked like a bush that was burning, but it wasn't burning, and then he sent him. Now go. Now you're ready. I'm sure Moses was studying and seeking the Lord all those years. So just because you've been called doesn't mean that you're sent yet. Amen?
Amen.
Remember that, because there's so many people that are half-baked, and some of them are not even baked at all. They have to get into the oven. Amen?
Amen.
Get into the oven, and you can feel some of the heat and go through some of the fire. And then after you go through that, then God will send you if you're not offended at what you have to go through in order to be a vessel for the Lord. And if you're not ashamed of the word, the actual period of time that it takes before you're sent will be a lot shorter. And the Lord said He wants to do a short work in these last days, and that knowledge will be increased. And I pray that God is using me to increase your knowledge to some small measure, at least. Hopefully some large measure.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord.
They only pretend to be Christians. Unless our natural worldly realm is poisoned or treated drastically by the cross, its wickedness shall continue to live within us. Another lesson we can learn from Peter is the utter uselessness of the natural self-life. Peter's self-life came to life not for himself, but for the Lord. Peter thought he loved Jesus. He thought he was desiring the best for him. He wanted him to be safe, secure, and happy. He did not want him to suffer or to die for us.
See, he hadn't been sent yet. He was trying to tell Jesus, instruct the master of the universe, the creator of his own mother, what to do. No, let it be far from thee, Lord. I'm the spokesman here. No, he wasn't sent yet. Amen?
Amen.
He hadn't gone through enough fire yet. Okay, then what?
All this thinking and false emotion emanating from Peter's soul was based on mere human desire, which comes from the flesh, the self-will, the mortal, natural self-life, the devil. All such human desire will be rejected by the Lord. The Lord will never entertain such desire because it is evil and of the flesh. Because the Lord denied His self-life in the service of God, it is obvious that He wants us to be as He was and still is.
Yes, because He said He does. Come and follow me. All right? In other words, be like me. Do like what I say. Follow in my footsteps. Okay? If you're being instructed in the Lord, then don't balk at His instructions. If you are taking lessons from an airline instructor, I pay attention to what he's saying, because if you don't, there might come a crisis in the air one of these days when you're supposed to be flying the plane, and maybe the plane won't make it. Amen?
Amen.
So pay strict attention to your instructors. And in this case, it was Jesus, God Himself, God-man. Okay, and so he shouldn't be rebuking Jesus. No one should rebuke God or say, "What doest thou?" Amen?
Amen.
You know, keep your place, boy. Keep your place, girl. Then what?
Jesus is calling believers to commit their natural, soulish self-life to death on the cross, not only because it loves the world, but because if we love the world, we will not serve him nor enter heaven.
Nor anyone that loves the world cannot serve the Lord. They cannot be servants of the Lord if they love the world. Absolutely impossible. You can't serve two masters. You either are of one kingdom of the heaven or the kingdom of this world. You cannot have both. Some people want to have the world and have heaven as well. Not so. Can't be. In order to communicate with the Lord, one must give all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength to him. Nothing to the world. Amen?
Amen.
You can use the world to get food and to drink, water and things like this, or juice or whatever you're drinking, but you are not to be of it. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Amen?
Amen.
That's the reproof of the word of the Lord. Does that push your heart a little and reopen a little crevice there that hasn't been opened for a while? I think so. Okay, then what?
Peter, in expressing his carnal affection towards the Lord, was not conscious that he was expressing and revealing his attitude towards his carnal self. Here, Peter's full carnal personality is unveiled. How true it is that the carnal, worldly self always operates independently of the will of God. It loves to serve God according to what it deems to be good in its carnal, fleshly, sinful self. Following God's desires means stripping away the self, the carnal, the soulish life. Whenever God's mind is obeyed, the soul's or self's ideas are crushed. Because Peter, in chapter 10 of Matthew, spoke to Jesus from his soul, the Lord called his disciples to forsake the natural self-life. The Lord added that the words Peter had uttered were from Satan.
Yeah, forget your fishing nets, forget the collecting taxes, forget the motion pictures, forget all the different things, come and follow me. All right? Mm-hmm. Unless you're a tent maker, God let Paul make some tents and make some money that way. If you're making money with decent things, that's okay if the Lord allows it. Okay? But this is a flexible type thing. You've got to know that the Lord is telling you to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Satan employs man's natural, sinful, selfish life as long as sinful people don't think Satan will deliver them to death. In other words, you will let Satan employ you as long as you don't think he'll kill you. When people respond more favorably to Satan than to the Lord, it means they are more fearful of Satan than of the Lord. Quote, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, unquote. Ecclesiastes 12, chapter 12, verse 13. Satan continues his operation today, which is the deceptive destruction of the human soul. The humans that Satan employs are his instruments. Peter said those wicked things because he ignorantly thought he was cherishing the Lord. However, the Holy Spirit reveals to us all that he was being manipulated by Satan. Peter prays that Jesus will listen to his carnal advice, stating that Jesus should be concerned about his human body, the temple where the triune God was living and working. However, his prayer was from the bowels of hell. Satan doesn't mind if we pray to God with our natural energy, but he doesn't want us to pray in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Satan doesn't care if you go to church either. He'll take you to different churches. He'll take you to these huge crusades where they're going to tell you that, the Pope is a good man and that he is to be honored and that Bush is the, what do they call him? President Bush, that he's the Messiah. Satan will take you to those kind of churches, or covens, I call them. All right, then what?
If we continue in self-life, Satan's business prospers. May God show us all how dangerous this self-life is, because believers may too quickly think they are spiritual merely because they think they love the Lord or admire heavenly things. God's purpose cannot be accomplished as long as Satan continues to find opportunity to work through that soulish self-life which remains uncommitted to the death of the cross. Self-pity, self-love, a fear of suffering, and a fear of the cross life is sinful. These are some of the manifestations of self-life or wicked soulish life, for its prime motivation is self-preservation.
You know, when there was this flood over in New Orleans, people figured, you know, they left all their belongings because they couldn't take them anything. They thought them to be nothing but dung. The main thing they wanted to do is save their lives and the lives of their loved ones. Amen?
Amen.
So the Bible says, what's more important, things of this world or your soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere? Amen?
Amen.
So that's why it's very important for even your carnal mind to believe that, you know, forget about the world. Get into heaven. Okay? Don't stop running. Like the sister said yesterday, she saw a vision of the Lord running, and she was running right behind him, and then there was this other woman that was running behind her, and she was a beautiful woman, and then all of a sudden she went off the side of the road, and she went into a room, and she looked like an old hag in there because she got off the straight and narrow. And she couldn't look back. She didn't want to look back anymore. She just kept running with Jesus. And that's the kind, she just didn't stop running, okay? The sister, she's still here. The other one is, she got waylaid along the side of the road somewhere down there and left the Lord. She stopped running. Don't stop running. Because the Bible says that only those that continue to the end shall be saved. And what's more important, the things of this world or your soul? Believe me, come a flood, you're not going to care about the things of this world. The only thing you're going to try to save is your precious life and the life of your precious ones, your sons, your daughters, your mother, maybe, if she's of the Lord, or your grandmother, or father, somebody. But you know, your television set, what are you going to do, go in there and rescue it and drown trying? That's what happens when you hang on to the world. You're going to drown. You're off the straight and narrow, and you're in the dark room there, and you're going to turn into an old hag or an old weasel. Okay, keep going.
It is exceedingly reluctant to endure any loss. This is the very reason the Lord calls us to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. It is to crush or snuff out our natural, self-indulgent life. Every cross that passes before us calls us to forsake ourselves. We must not harbor any self-love, but instead lay down our lives by the power of God living both in and through us. The Lord tells us that this is our cross. Every one of us receives our own particular cross from God. This is the particular cross we must bear. Even though it is our cross, it is directly connected to the cross of the Lord. If we are willing to carry our cross in the same way Christ carried his cross, we will find the power of his cross abiding in us, and it will enable us to lose our natural self-life. Each time we take up our cross, our carnal self, our fleshly, mortal, worthless life will suffer loss. Each time we don't, our self-life is fed and made stronger. Dealing with our self-life is not a one-time or a part-time matter. It's a full-time job, 24 hours a day, 7 days of every week, and 365 days of every year. Does this offend you? Again, the Lord is the one who teaches us this truth for our eternal benefit, our eternal life. Most people will lose their own lives for such things as their father, mother, wife, son, daughter, brothers, sisters, friends, careers, or a multitude of other things. Jesus tells us that sacrificing ourselves for anyone or anything other than for his sake will not be of any value in attaining eternal life, immortality in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Again, the cross which we have been called to bear is closely related to the cross that Christ bore. The cross that we have been called to bear is like a poisonous serpent, able to bring death to our fleshly, sinful self-life. Like a serpent, our cross, which again is self-denial, is full of death-dealing venom, ready to kill every fleshly lust and worldly desire which would raise its ugly head to destroy us if we were foolish enough not to pay attention to its rising. This truth is greatly symbolized several times in the Old Testament. One of these times is when Moses, during a war with Amalek, lifted up the rod of God, which was symbolic of Christ, who is the Word of God, and his cross. If he did, the enemy of Israel would lose the battle. But if he became weary and lowered the rod of God, which was symbolic of Christ and his cross, the enemy would begin winning the battle over Israel.
The reason that this rod with the serpent on it is symbolic of Christ is because the serpent is like sin, and Christ became sin for us. We were on our way to hell, but because of the fact that God in Christ came to this earth as a man to shed his blood for us, he became our sin. And so he went to the cross in our stead and shed his precious blood, because it's precious, because it takes away our old sins. And because there's no more sin on us, then God opens his eyes to us and sends the spirit of his Son into us with his own spirit, and we become born again of the Spirit. And so that's why the cross, the cross and the Moses' staff with the serpent, or the staff with the serpent around it, is symbolic of Jesus, who became sin for us. Okay, then go ahead.
In Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, when the children of Israel sinned by murmuring against God, God instructed Moses to make a fiery brass serpent and set it upon a pole. This pole with the brass serpent on it is symbolic of Christ and the killing power of the cross against the natural sinful life.
Right, the cross mortifies our flesh, and in other words, makes it dead, for the desires of our flesh to be dead. If we just do what the Lord says, that automatically kills the desires of the flesh. And then what?
God sent fiery, poisonous serpents to kill the children of Israel for their murmuring against him. But if they kept their eyes upon the brass serpent on the pole, the venom from the poisonous, fiery serpents did not harm them. This shows us that if we keep our eyes and minds on Christ, the Word of God, so that we can serve him by keeping his commandments through his living in us and working through us, nothing of the devil can obstruct our ability to enter heaven. This is because by doing this, we are fully armed and armored with, quote, the whole armor of God, which destroys, poisons, and kills our fleshly self-life, unquote. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. If we take up our cross and deny our desires for the things of the world, every fleshly lust and worldly desire, that is, our old life, will be mortified or deadened, and they will have no more power over us. Then we will be immune from Satan's ability to kill our eternal soul by tempting or deceiving us back into the world of sin. Again, in another place, the rod of God, which is also symbolic of Christ and his cross, was given to Moses as a sign to Pharaoh that God had sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. When Aaron, Moses' brother, threw down the rod symbolizing Christ, his cross, and its serpentine power over the natural sinful life, the rod of God turned into that symbol, the serpent. The magicians threw their rods down, and these too became serpents. However, the serpent representing God's venomous power over the satanic natural sinful life swallowed up the satanic natural sinful humanistic lives of the magician serpents. God shows us by the symbol of the serpent, which deceived Eve, that God outmaneuvered the devil by making the serpent, which ordinarily symbolizes the devil, to swallow up himself, which is all the evil of the serpent, which is the self-life. Jesus and his cross, quote, led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men by his blood and his cross, unquote, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. He tricked that old serpent, the devil, into crucifying him on the cross as a sacrifice for everyone's former sins, so that everyone could be set free from the devil and from the penalty of an eternal hell. Because Christ never sinned, the Father resurrected him from the dead to again reign over the entire universe. Without the cross of Christ, there is no eternal life. And without our cross, which again is closely connected with the cross of Christ, there is no power of the cross to preserve our eternal life.
No, we cannot serve the world, serve the Lord and the world. You just lose all your godly power, your spiritual power. So the more of the world that you like and enjoy, the more you have no spiritual power of God. The Spirit of God has left you and you wist it not. You don't even know it because you're so entangled with the affairs of the world. All right? So don't be involved with all these things. The Lord will warn you to send a tsunami or a hurricane, take all the things that you have, and you'll find out they're not that important. Somebody might have bought a brand new something in their house, maybe a whole new set of furniture and everything, and it's got all wasted. They didn't try to take that furniture on the raft with them or swim with it in the flood. They just took off. Amen?
Amen.
And tried to save themselves. Some of them didn't make it. Then what else?
Without the cross of Christ, there is no eternal life. And without our cross, which again is closely connected with the cross of Christ, there is no power of the cross to preserve our eternal life, the gift given to us by God through Christ. When the Lord observes our living the cross life, defending our gift of eternal life, the strength of His cross living in us gives us the strength to bear our cross. As we turn our backs on every temptation to sin, and as we flee from the very appearance of evil, we are the same as lifting up the cross of Christ and taking up our cross, just as Moses lifted up the rod of God so that Israel could continue winning the battle against the enemies of Israel. Every moment we continue taking up our cross to follow Christ, we remind Satan of Christ's victory over him on the cross at Calvary, where Jesus shed his precious blood so that our former sins could all be washed away and we might live the sinless, selfless cross life required to enter heaven. Our cross, the cross we must carry, is the cross which gives daily doses of poisonous treatments to our old, sinful, carnal self, or soul life. Our cross must be applied to every attempt of Satan to tempt or deceive us back into the world of sin, where the old, former, worthless self-life waits. Quote, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world with all its wealth and lusts and lose his own soul?" Unquote. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Self-denial is not something that can be finished. It is what we must experience daily to the end if we desire an eternity in heaven. The self-life must be overcome step by step. The more the Holy Spirit unites Himself with our spirits, the more we will be united with Jesus and the selfless cross life of Jesus. How can believers deny the self if the self is unknown to them? They must first begin denying the things they recognize as worldly in themselves. The life of the cross will cut and penetrate our spirits ever more deeply each day. Through self-denial and bearing the cross daily, we can know more of God's will, and knowing more of ourselves will give the cross an increased power to poison and destroy more of our self-life each day, so that the life of Christ may attain more growth within us each day. God's word tells us that our own good deeds, which we have done, shall be, quote, as filthy rags, unquote, at the judgment bar of God, if we expect them to merit our going to heaven. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6.
Right, the people that do their own good deeds, they're trying to substitute what they do for people. That is a good substitute for Christ, instead of having Christ live in you and work in you and through you. Your good deeds are like a old minstrel's cloth or a filthy rag, because that is not going to do you any good. Anytime you put your good deeds before Christ and His life and what He can do in you and through you, you are offending the Lord very much. And because He obviously is offending you. You don't want to have the Lord live in you, and you're not wanting to deny the things of this world. A lot of people think because they lead maybe somebody across, good deeds are fine, but you cannot substitute them for the cross. We're born again at the cross, we die at the cross, we resurrect from the dead at the cross, everything happens at the cross, and we're able to mortify our flesh, the deeds of the flesh, and to be able to see realistically that the things of the world are of no value and that the kingdom of heaven is the only important thing. The only important thing is to get into heaven. Don't stop running. Then what?
nothing but what Christ has done and commands us to do after we have received the gift of eternal life can give us entry into heaven. So if it is your will to deny every instruction other than the instructions of Christ to enter heaven, which is a must, simply because there are no other means, and if it is your will to deny the world, Satan, and everything in the world, including yourself, so that you, the ones you love, and others, may enter the kingdom of heaven, then begin your life of following Christ and the life of self-denial by saying this prayer.
Okay, the prayer goes, say it. You may be driving in a automobile someplace, or you can park the automobile. If you're a bus driver and everybody on the bus has been listening to this broadcast, just pull them alongside the road with you and have every one of them say this prayer to God. And say to it with all your heart and soul. Say to God now, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. And I know this to be a fact because your word, which is God, says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, is what your word says, and that includes me as well. And I am praying unto you, I am calling unto you, and therefore I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Praise you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And contact me now. You can get some. You need to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we have instructions. I've written instructions on how you can accomplish that. As I said before, that you're called now into the ministry, but you're not sent yet. You need to study to show yourself a workman approved by the Lord, and you need to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which will cause you to understand the word of the Lord much better, and you'll feel the Spirit of the Lord a lot stronger. And so call or write us. Now, our post office box, or let's give them the fax number first.
479-782-7406.
Okay, now our email is
alamoministries.com.
Okay, that's easy, right? AlamoMinistries.com. Or we have a phone room, and that number is?
479-782-7370.
And if you'd like to mail us something, to keep this ministry going all over the world, the address is?
P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505.
But before that, you have to put Tony Alamo Ministries, Christian Ministries, all right? And then give the post office box again.
P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505.
Well, that concludes this piece of literature. Do I offend you? And are you ashamed of me? Tomorrow we'll be doing another one. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.